Hiya, and welcome back to another episode of Adulting with Autism. In today's podcast episode, we're going to be talking about five places that I go for help when I need it. Given that I live alone, it's sometimes quicker to jump on Google than it is to try and contact someone and ask for help. And also, I don't know who the right person to ask is. So I usually start off with a bit of an online search and then take it from there. But one of the problems I noticed in the beginning was that some sites are paid for by companies and just used as advertising, so you can't really trust the posts on there. So blogs, like a lot of them, have sponsored posts. Another thing I realised is that some are just full of shit. And then another thing I realised is that some of them are just wrong, completely and utterly wrong. So I'm going to share with you five sites that I go to whenever I need help. Starting with health. So when you're ill, the first thing you do is jump on Google, search your symptoms, and usually you've either got some sort of tumour, cancer, or Ebola. And I've come to terms with the fact that WebMD is just not the one. It's not the place to go for help. I don't know who it's funded by, what's behind it, but it's trash. The best place that I found to go for help when it comes to health or health issues is the NHS website. So it's a government-funded site run by the National Health Service here in the UK, which means that they try their best not to get you to go and seek medical attention. If you need it, obviously they will tell you to go and get it, but if they can avoid you being a drain on the service and costing them more than you have to, then they won't tell you to go to a doctor's, which is great for me because I have a germophobia when it comes to the doctors. Like, I always think I want to get sick in the waiting room. And, you know, you're just there surrounded by people. It's like, I don't understand how a room of sick people are going to get better. Same logic with hospitals, and also there's machines beeping, there are needles around, fear of needles. But anyway, back to my point. The NHS site will tell you a bit more information about what you've got based on your symptoms, and it will also help you to know at what point you need to go and seek medical attention if it is ever necessary. They'll also tell you what to go down to the pharmacy and ask for if you need any medication or how you can treat yourself at home. So all in all, it's a pretty decent place to go to if you need help medically, is that the word? Medical wise. You know what I mean. Next, exercise. So this was a bit of a sticky one, so like I didn't know how to explain it properly, because with exercise, like, everyone's posted on Instagram now, like, anyone could be a fitfluencer. You don't need any credentials to do it, and that's totally true, and you can just look at anyone for exercise and workout ideas. But when it came to getting help with stuff, yeah, my answer is to look online and look at other people that enjoy exercise, but with this caution: check them out, see what credentials they've got, if they're a qualified personal trainer or if they're just someone who trains a lot as a hobby and likes to share what they know. There's nothing wrong with someone who likes to share what they know, but just do an extra level of research to check that what they're telling you is factually correct. So whether that be form or nutritional information, or just what they're doing is right for you. And another thing to remember, if you're looking at a fitfluencer, or if there's no open dialogue between you and the person who you're getting the information from, they don't know you. They don't know what you can handle. And although you want to be like them and be as active as them, you might not be able to handle it. You might not be strong enough. You might not be able to move in that way. And when it comes to exercise, health and fitness, like, everyone needs to approach it in their own way, in a way that's suited for them. A one way to get around this would be to go to classes. So this one's kind of like 2 points in one, but the classes thing's not online. So if you don't like running, that's kind of like my go-to free independent workout exercise way thing. Another thing you can do is go to classes at the gym or leisure center or wherever you work out, or just go to a place like a spin class at a spin place. I don't know, you get what I'm trying to say though. So yeah, classes. But one thing about classes that makes me a bit anxious is the fact that you're in a room of people and they're all new people, and what if someone talks to you and all that social anxiety jazz. But then another thing that I've come to realize is that no one cares about you. Like, they're all there to go and get active and spend 30 minutes getting a sweat on and get out of there. You, more often than not, don't have to talk to anyone. And if you do, it's just surface level gym chit chat. And once you've done that once or twice, it's pretty easy to pick up a script that you can use time and again. So I go to a pure gym, which means I get free classes included in my membership. So if there's ever a time where I'm just struggling to motivate myself to go to the gym, or I can't think of a workout plan to do because of all the machines and so much choice and all of that, then just go to a class, let someone else take the lead, do what they say for 30 minutes, get a sweat on and get out of there. The next thing is number three, planning travel. So it's my responsibility to get myself to wherever I need to be in a day. I mean, it is for most of us, but living alone often means I don't have someone to turn to and ask, oh, do you know this, that, or the other?
either. And in terms of planning travel, if you don't drive and use public transport like I do, Google Maps is a godsend. They can work out what time you need to leave based on a time that you put in you need to arrive at your destination. Or you can work the other way around and put in what time you're going to leave and it'll tell you what time you'll get there. Based on that, you can basically plan your whole day and use Google Maps to help you. I use it sometimes when I'm out and about and need to know the quickest way to get home. Like, I know my set routes home, but sometimes there might be a quicker way that Google can tell me. So yeah, this feature is just in your standard Google Maps, you change over to, I think it's either public transport or transit, something like that, and it does everything for you. You can also use it for car journeys, obviously, which is the more traditional use of Google Maps. And if you use it for car journeys, you can add stops along the way. So say you've got to pick up friends, or if there's a certain order you need to do your day in, you can put in the first destination, the final destination, and then it gives you the option to add stops along the way. Another thing I like about Google Maps is that it lets you see how much an Uber would be. So if an Uber is going to be a little bit cheaper than, or just a lot more time efficient and not much more expensive, then I tend to do that. But yeah, that's Google. And then these final two are more UK specific, but I want to include them anyway. So one is renting. And when I'm renting, like, off a private landlord, so I don't really know where I stand on a lot of things, but this tip also helps if you are renting through social housing. So there's a website called Shelter, and yeah, they're also a charity. So it's a charity that runs this website, and they tell you, like, what rights you have as a tenant. And I use their site because I am renting and there's a bit of an issue with my window, and I was like, oh, do I have the right to ask for this to be replaced? Is it my fault that it's broken? Should I have noticed it when I moved in? Like, is it now too late to get it fixed? All of these questions I had, and all of them were answered on their website. So Shelter are a homelessness charity and living rights, I guess, and accommodation rights. I don't know what you'd call it, but that's generally what they cover. So if you're either homeless or about to be faced with homelessness, they've got advice for you there. Or if you are renting from a private, or are they called public? I don't think it's called a public. If you're renting from the council and social housing, then they can help you with that as well. And it's just full of unbiased information that let you know your rights. The final one, and one that I've had to use recently having left my job, is Citizens Advice. So I had no idea how to go about, oh my god, I haven't told you that all of these will be linked in the show notes. My god, yes. Show notes will have links to all the websites that I've mentioned. Back to Citizens Advice. So they are a charity that offers unbiased legal advice, and they are there to help you to succeed, essentially. When it came to writing my notice, I didn't know what I had to include in there. I didn't know what rights I had in terms of the notice period, what I owed them, or just basically how do you do it? What do you do? What do you say? Because it was the first proper job I've had. Whereas every other job, I've either been on like a 0 hours, so it was a media notice, I could quit, and there's no skin off my nose, like I didn't need them for a reference and all that other stuff. But when it comes to this one, it was my first proper job out of uni. So I have to, like, probably sit down, evaluate whether I wanted to leave, get myself into a financial position where I was able to, which I didn't really do properly, but that's irrelevant. And I had to hand in my notice, work a notice period, all these things that, like, I've never had to do before. And Citizens Advice didn't talk me through it, but just, like, let me know what was to come. And everything on the website was up-to-date, accurate, and made sense. It was well-written, simply written. And it was like step-by-step follow-along information. So Citizens Advice can also help with stuff to do with housing, benefits, what else was on their website? Debt and money. So like, if you've ever got any money problems, then you can go there as well. And again, it's unbiased information, which means that they are there to help you. They don't benefit financially from it. Like, at the end of the day, they're a charity. So anything on there, you can go by and not feel like you're being done over or being sold anything. And that's it. That was a nice quick episode covering 5 places you can go to for help. Another episode I'm going to be releasing this week will be a interview with another autistic person. I'm not sure which one it's going to be yet, so I can't really tell you. But with Aspie and Al, then you'll like the one that's to come. All the ones that I have recorded are sick and the people are lovely. So if you found anything in this podcast useful, or I've told you about a service that you didn't know existed before, then please drop a comment and also share it with a friend. Send this episode to a friend and tell them, oh, this might help you, and we can get the Adulting with Autism community growing. In the future, I'll be looking to do more interview episodes and a lot more problem solution based stuff. So there wasn't really a core problem to anything here, but I just offered a load of solutions for potential problems that might happen in the future. And then we're also going to do a YouTube video on 5 things people don't tell you about living alone. Because in these first 2 months, I have realised a lot of things that I wish someone would have told me beforehand so that I was a little bit more prepared for them. So that's what I'm here for. I'm going to tell you them so that you can prepare in ways that I couldn't. So yeah, I've been Tyler. This has been Adulting with Autism. And all the sites that I've mentioned in the episode will be linked in the show notes below. Have a good week. See ya. Bye.